It's the Hour of Truth. I have Phil Walthall to my right.
Hello, everybody.
Scott Bishop.
Good afternoon.
Right next to me. And James is, I guess, en route to the airport with
Carter in tow.
Carter. So we will do this without James today, much like we do all the time. That's mean. I suppose that's
a little mean.
Yeah.
It's all right, though. He's not here.
That's true. What's the point in not having him here if you can't talk about it?
There you go.
Oh, me. You know, when we're doing the service, and, you know, up there, and all these things come to my mind, and I was good enough at it, I would remember to mention the stuff that occurs to me when I went up there. I hit most of it, and, you know, Lord was good, and I think he got his purpose accomplished, but I still annoyed myself because I forgot, you know, one of the things y'all said.
I don't find myself in that position ever, Paul.
No.
No, that's a lie. I understand exactly how that feels.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up was that, you know, the lie of the prosperity gospel. The lie of the prosperity gospel. First off, Paul says, I glory in tribulation, for tribulation worketh
patience
worketh experience. Experience worketh hope.
And hope does not disappoint.
Maketh not ashamed. That's exactly it.
I got it right here, too.
Did I massacre it?
I don't. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Now, this is the part you're coming up on. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
That is a process that you submit to by choice. And if you're not willing to let that process work in you, then you never have the gospel accomplish its work in your life. That's why Paul glories in it, because he wanted the gospel's power to manifest in his life.
And in others.
And for others. Yeah.
Absolutely. For others. That's it. That's the word. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you didn't want it for him. He wanted it to be able to please the Lord.
Amen.
Absolutely. And the Lord pleased the Lord to have him preach the gospel in power.
Absolutely.
So, that gospel denies, that's another gospel. That's another gospel, just like Galatians is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are denying the truth of the gospel in the process in which it works in your life, then you're not committed to it at all. You're fooling yourself.
Amen.
You're punching the clock. Amen. You're showing up, but you're not committed to the gospel, and you're not committed to the Lord.
Amen.
You haven't ever turned your life over to him when it's now his, and it's hid with him in God.
And what you have is that glory in the tribulations. Look at the perspective that he's coming from. The perspective that he's coming from is that the situations and the tribulations that came upon him were opportunities for the Lord to move mightily. Shipwreck goes to the thing, gets bit by a snake. How many of us would go, oh my gosh, I'm dying? Opportunity. It was opportunity. It was that was a death sentence that happened when that viper bit him. That was an opportunity for the grace of God to move and for the gospel to be manifest.
You know, learning to have that expectation of this opportunity that's here available for us. How is the Lord going to manifest? This is going to be great. That expectation didn't just because we'd had Pentecost and all that didn't mean that Peter and the rest of them understood what was going on. Remember when Peter gets sprung by the angel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter's is like, he's figured he's having a vision. He's out of the jail. He gets outside of the gate and is like,
Wait a second. I'm here. Is my physical body here.
He goes, that was kind of neat. So he goes on to the house and he's like, knocking on it. Hey, it's Peter. Peter's not home, man. He's in jail. That's the old Cheech and Chong bit with Dave. Dave's
Peter's not here, man. Peter's not here.
I know. I'm Peter. Yeah. That's funny, but that's how we are.
Yeah.
And they hadn't learned to have the expectation yet. You know, they were still new at it. But wow, when you start learning how good he is, exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. You know, if you're going to pull one out of context, that's a good one to pull out of context. Because it means the same thing in context as it does out.
Sure.
It's better than you can imagine. So lift your expectations.
Yeah, and you know, that
Saturday Night Live bit lowered expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I always telling people to do that. You know, I heard this of you. Like this, you need to lower those expectations. It was funny, Travis at work. He goes, "Yeah, I heard these great things. Scott talked all good things about you." And da 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 da. I said, "Right now, you need to stop, lower those expectations, because I'm about to disappoint you." But with the Lord, you don't do that with the Lord, because we sing that song, what? Awesome God.
Yeah.
Our God is an awesome God. How awesome is He to us? I mean, do we put Him down to little G God or big G God? We're talking about the one who spoke things to existence, created heaven and earth, and all the things that are in them. Manifested His love towards us. Split open the Red Sea. Stop the River Jordan. Pour down the walls of Jericho. And must I go on and on and on and on? And what then has He done for us personally, on a personal level, for us in our life? He's an awesome God. We really need to take hold of that. Glory and tribulations. Take hold of that, that the situation is an opportunity for the Lord to move and for me to learn some lessons. Even if it's one of those things that it's where you just absolutely messed up, screwed up, because it's one where you can learn from.
Mm-hmm. Learn to lean on Him.
Learn to lean on Him. Absolutely. What does it say? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I mean, that goes, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, but when I fall down in a temptation and act like a complete ass, like I shouldn't have, like I shouldn't have, and reacted instead of sought the Lord in that thing.
He does have a gift for making words up.
He does.
No, Phil.
What did I do this time?
Just making word? Up some words.
There was some kind of compound run together word.
Oh, my bad. But it's the last thing is joy and tribulation. I feel like a scumbag, Lord, please forgive me, you know. But then I put my faith and trust back on what He has done. Blot out my trespasses. And the other thing that comes to fruit out of that is I don't want to handle that like that anymore, Lord. That was an evil thing out of my heart. And I don't want that a part of me.
And that's a repentant heart right there, you know, and that's a humbleness that He can work on and use.
Amen.
You know, the prosperity folks there that we've mentioned, if you're down in the ditch and you're not making the money and got the fancy car, I mean, you must be doing something wrong. But in fact, if you're down in the ditch and don't have that fancy, you're probably closer to God than, you know, those folks in that church, those folks that are preaching it.
Well, they don't have to have those high expectations of God.
Well, their rely and their trust and their faith is in their money.
Right.
Or their self-righteousness.
Their whatever to produce that money.
Or their abilities or their strengths or whatever the case
or who
may
they
be.
Know.
I mean, remember, I mean, if we go back, remember Jesus was talking about the one, two people went up to this Ghent synagogue to pray. One a Pharisee, the other,
publican, just a dude.
Yeah. One says, I am so thankful, Lord, that you make me not as this guy is, and I tithe all these things, and I hope somebody, I'd much rather read it. I don't know if we can find it or not, but the other one comes across and the other one says, he beats us on his chest and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. One came out rather justified than the other. And it was the one that was beaten on his chest saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
I think it's Luke 18:13 is where you're at. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back before that, you can get the Pharisee. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee. I started reading Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.
He has a pretty high esteem of himself.
Yeah, he does. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
The bad news for those who fancy themselves as all right is what Jesus says here. What does he say? He says, I tell you, that man was justified rather than the other.
That means the other was not justified at all.
At all.
Sure. And I'll read that. It's verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's what we're saying.
Amen. And you know, kind of going back to taking the direction from the things that the Lord has is actually a place of humility. Because as long as you think that you have something to offer, you know, and it clearly states, without me, you can do nothing. As long as you think you have something to offer, or there's some good thing in you, you're never going to humble yourself to receive that, the good thing from Him. Because it's the place of where you think you have something, and that you don't need Him. But when the place where you come from, where you know you don't have nothing to offer, and that you need Him, then He is justified to rather give you those things that you can use to go forward in Him. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I realize I have nothing to offer. Then I can receive that from Him.
Mm-hmm. And you can offer that to others.
Amen. And it goes back to, I am the true vine. My Father's the husband. It goes back to, you are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
He is the vine. That life source, that means all those nutrients, all those things come from the vine. It comes from Him. And the fruit that is being bore is love. And that comes from Him. And if you're partaking of anything else, cut off. You're not partaking of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's by His love, His Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's the only good thing. His direction. His way.
Well, there was a second thing at least a second one. There was, maybe at some point, I'll remember a couple others.
So there was another, is what you're saying.
There was another instance in which, my voice didn't work terribly well, but you were up there, you turned around, so you probably heard it. But I'm sitting there saying, does it surprise you that you're running into all this hatred and stuff from other people? First off, they're judging you being a hypocrite. And secondly, the servant is not greater than the master. And he said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too.
And that
if you're doing my thing.
Absolutely. And that's in 18 if you want me to start reading it, Paulie.
John 18, right?
John 15, verse 18. Chapter 15, verse 18.
Now go for it.
It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
Now this one's not carved in stone. I mean, they could hate you because you're being a jerk.
That's the other point that I wanted to come across, because I remember...
And if you're being a jerk, then you deserve the hatred. I mean...
You're asking for it.
Yeah. But if you're doing his thing and think you're going to get off because you got his, he's protecting you now, you're doing his thing, so that's the trade-off. Not the trade-off. He didn't say it was. He said, they hated me first, they're going to hate you.
Yeah. And it says in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. I mean, they crucified Jesus.
So what do you think's going to happen?
I mean, do you think you're in just a higher standing than him all of a sudden? No. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
And if they kill you, they killed me before you. But that's glory to you. Like, because I didn't stay dead. And if you're doing my thing and abiding in my body, that's where that hope that doesn't disappoint.
Amen.
It doesn't, that's it. That's what it's about. That's why, you know, my favorite, Colossians is probably one of my favorite books, I guess, because there's so much there in such a short place. But that chapter 3, man, is opening 4 or 5 verses. That's a place that I can wrap my arms around. For you are dead and you're hid. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's as good as it gets.
Amen.
When Christ, our life, shall appear, you shall appear with him as well in glory. That's the payoff. So what happens to this old carcass? So what? So they crucify me. The payoff is, it wasn't my life to begin with.
Amen.
He bought it with a price. His life.
Amen. You go to Romans 12, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how Paul, which is what, your reasonable service, as he says.
Mm-hmm.
As you die to that old man, that new man.
Yeah, you don't hear a whole lot of this being talked about in the prosperity gospel, people. I mean, but this is his word. It's what he said.
Amen.
This is how it's going to work. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you love me and are doing my word.
Amen. And you know, let's look at that, you take a look at love and with the love of God, the agape love of Christ, and you take a look at that preference and you see what the love looks like. And by our carnal man, our natural man, when we see the Lion of Judah, which is actually grace unto the hearers, our natural man looks at it as mean, and it's not. When he told the Pharisees, no man can come if you reject me, you reject the Father. When he turned over the money changers.
You see me, you see the Father.
You see me, you see the Father. When he turned over the money changers, says, make my house not a house of thieves. A den of thieves is what he says.
Yeah.
That was love when he told the woman, it's not meat for you to eat, it's not meat for the dogs to eat off the children's table. That's love. And see, I mean, you just take a look, just in this ministry, just kind of take a look at some of the ministers, you know, David particularly one. at what love looks like.
That's right.
Karen has asthma. Karen comes over, and I remember hearing this story for the first time. Karen, Charlie's talking to Karen. Karen has asthma, so smoking and everything. I think Davey's, well, I don't know his exact words, but something like, oh, we'll handle that. Comes over, he blows smoke right in her face. Says, now that's a demonic spirit. You want to get delivered of it? Yes. Boom, she has no more asthma. That's love. Mm-hmm. But the world, oh my goodness. To the natural man, oh my goodness, that's hate, but no, that's love. And see, the world's going to hate you for that kind of love. And that's just it, because it's not the world's way. What's that?
It's being the Lord's jerk. I mean, that's really what that is. I mean, are you going to love somebody enough? Are you going to love the Pharisees enough to go through the temple, turning the tables over? And telling them, this is a house of God, not den of thieves.
You're whitewashed sepulchres.
Yeah.
You're of your father, the devil. He is the liar and the father of it. That's grace to them. That means
and the word
I'm here this.
The word that set them off in John 8 when he starts telling them they're of the father, the devil. So the thing that set them off was, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We be not slave to anybody. What are the Romans?
Look at the law. They're in bondage underneath the law. Yep. He's come to set you free from that. He came to fulfill that, but you would have nothing to do with it. But see, that's grace, because what does he say? If I had not come, they would have no cloak for their sin. But now that I've come, they have no cloak for their sin. So it was a grace unto the people around that seeing that this was not the way. And that their deeds were evil, and that there's a better way, and his name was Jesus. And it was also a grace to them to see where they are at, and they could return and repent. Their choice was theirs, but if that choice was never revealed unto them, that's not gracious. That's not giving them a chance. That's not love.
Not right.
It's not righteous. That's not, if somebody's in the air of the way, and you don't tell them the air of the way, that's not loving them.
The indictment, which is in, you know, tells you about in Romans, the indictment against them was knowing God. Knowing God. They honored him not as God. They knew who Jesus was. And they said, not just, they wouldn't acknowledge who he was publicly. They wouldn't let the people, they didn't want the people to find out who he was. That was the issue. That was the whole issue against the Pharisees. As when they weren't satisfied to stay in their ignorance and their rebellion, they weren't letting other people enter in either.
And they kept
heaping on more things, precepts and stuff they didn't follow.
Yeah, sure.
And
you got the same thing today.
Yeah.
With these other gospels that are out there.
Amen. The prosperity gospel. The Lord has a plan for you. No, he has a plan, and you are hand out ready. You can come on board with that plan. Right. And once again, goes to, was it Ephesians?
What did he save you for? He saved you. He redeemed you so that you could turn your life over to him, and he could use you to please him.
Amen.
That's the whole point. That's why he did that, because he loved you, and you couldn't do that on your own.
And in that place, your joy is full. Because that's what you were created for.
And
that's why you were created.
It's not grievous.
No. And when you're doing that which you're created for, there is no greater joy. It's like, man, it's a sweet spot. Nobody can knock you off. That's why Paul can rejoice in tribulations and glory in tribulations. He get persecuted. When they get whipped and they get stoned, and they praise the Lord that they had the opportunity to suffer for his name's sake. Because when you're in that place where it's just you're doing that which you're created for, there's no greater joy. No greater joy. Spirit rejoice. Souls rejoice. Because before the curse, that's what the angels were. Solely about serving him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because of the life that they have given unto them and now is offered unto us.
Yeah. That's right. It's, the plan is not anything like what they present it as. They present it like it's the plan for you to come join this church and give us your money.
And you know, we'll all prosper.
Drive a bus. Or pick up the kids the parents are shoving off to go to church while they sit home and drink beer and scratch your navel.
Yeah.
Watch TV.
And where I was over there in Galatians this morning. Chapter 1, it's like verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The interesting thing,
the list of the other gospels that are messages that are being sent, it's an incredible list, and it keeps growing.
Keeps getting bigger. And the interesting thing about that word accursed in the Strong's, it says, doomed to destruction, a thing devoted to God without hope to be redeemed. Doomed to destruction, a thing devoted to God without hope to be redeemed. Now that sounds a little harsher to me than just the word accursed. Oh, yeah, it's accursed. Yeah. No. Doomed to destruction. Without hope to be redeemed.
Well, that's the end of that.
That's powerful stuff.
You know what comes to mind? What came to mind is, I mean, you look at all these things. I mean, you look at Mother Teresa. That's a big one because it was works-based, and that's one of those worldly things where if somebody went and stood and told her the truth, I mean, the world loved her.
Oh, yeah.
I loved her. But somebody to stand up and say, Mother Teresa, you're going to hell because you're not pointing people away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're pointing to another gospel. You're pointing to another doctrine. That would be the most loving thing, and the world would hate them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, because they see everything that she's doing is all good. None of them led the people to Christ.
Well, even today, though, there's two aspects to that how the world would react to that message. We feel pretty good about ourselves, world, that would say, you're hideously mistaken and wrong. You're cursed. And then there's the rebellion of the people against them who will sit there and go, yeah, that's good. So, I mean, and neither one of them are
in a good place. You're absolutely right.
So, and it's not like their agreement's helping you any.
Exactly. It once again, that's pointing people back away from the gospel.
Yeah.
Because they're ready to pick up stones and throw. And that's not the Lord. I didn't see the Lord do that at all. I seen the Lord goes, does any man condemn you? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn you.
That's right. And you know, if we spent near as much time building up that bank account of grace and mercy in Him as we did spending judging other people about their errors and their, what they're doing in their lives, whether it's right or wrong or whatnot. Not for us to judge anyways. Their relationships and that kind of thing. We hear people all the time that they are more concerned about what other people are doing than they are about
what
where
they're doing.
At. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do kids do that? I mean, come on. Some of them never grew out of that.
I hear all the time, well, so-and-so is doing that, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to you. Aren't you doing this? Yes. Did I say to do that? No. Then you're in trouble. You don't gotta worry about
what the way I envision this working in my head. This worked out a lot better in my head. Are you sure that's the answer you want to stick with?
Jesus telling Peter, what is that? He's tarry till I come.
Yeah.
What's it to you?
Right.
You know, and it brings me back. First, the judgment must come to the house of God. And, you know, and it kind of goes back to, remember when Steve reading, I think in Corinthians not too long ago, when he's talking about, you know, taking every thought
captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ.
To the obedience of Jesus Christ. And then once you do that within yourself, then not do you want to stop there. But all those things that come against the knowledge of Him,
you
give no place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not good for anybody to partake of anything other than the goodness of the Lord and how He is good. Not good for family, not good for brothers and sisters, not good for any of those.
No, it's not good for anyone.
Anyone, period. Right. Just left
casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience.
There you
your
go.
Obedience
Thank
is
you.
Fulfilled.
That's right.
When you have wrestled down the fact that it's the obedience of Christ is where you can hold all things captive, all thoughts captive that come against.
Amen.
When you understand that that's, it's His obedience and not yours that's required there.
Amen.
Yours is not unwaverable and subject to all kinds of false inputs. His was perfect.
Amen.
And
good.
When you understand, when you can walk in that, then you can start addressing all this disobedience that's going on by other people who think they're doing this and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all counting it as themselves being obedient. And that's, if they're going to do that, they're also going to assume other things about their all rights condition, and they're not going to receive correction. And they're not going to walk in the light. And they're going to presume they're all right when they're not.
And you know, and that sign that shows, and that's a good point. And the place where you don't presume that is that you're checking everything up. You're checking everything to the light. Everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. In the sense of the situation at hand. How you're handling this situation. I mean, when I go to, and I ask the Lord to guide me, give me wisdom in the things to operate at my home, in this ministry, at work, the people I come in contact with. Lord, because I want to handle it Your way, not mine. And my way is no good. I have nothing to offer. And He answers that. You know how He answers that? And what do I do? How I bring those lights? I bring these things to my discipler. I bring these things to Steve. And what happens is, it'll be a shine. It's a correction. More light on the situation. And sometimes it's me like, well, that's a completely wrong way to handle it. I'm glad you said something and went forward, but this is what's going on, and this is a better way. Thank you. Praise God. And when I go, I don't look at them as corrections, like a chastising with my butt been tore up. I look at them as like answers to prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's answer to prayer. And I know that's the way the Lord works. And the more I can hear from Steve and receive and obedient, the more I can hear from the Lord and His Spirit, which is Spirit in Steve, the Lord in Steve, the more I can hear it within myself in any given situation at hand. In the time of need. And the Lord shows up mightily. It's kind of like walking where the children of Israel walked and shouted at the walls. The walls came tumbling down. It's like you go into that situation just trusting in Him and what He can do and His ability and the promises that He has that He's going to show up and the confidence of that. And then when you go and you step out believing that on what He has done and that He'll show up, what happens is those walls come tumbling down and He shows up. And it's all Him that shows up. But you know, that's the act of faith, that belief, like where Abraham offered up Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Rahab doing the same.
When I talk about presumptive all rightness, what that really is pride. And how I know about it is because I was eat up with it. And Davey wouldn't let it go. He just kept hammering it.
And that was love.
That was love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably still eat up with it, but at least now I see it when it manifests itself. And, you know, I can get an opportunity to turn and repent from it. But I was just really sure that I was all right because, you know, God was going to special case me and, you know, he was going to grade me on the curve. No scripture to back any of that up. Right?
But it felt good.
But these people eat up with this.
Oh, yeah.
This is a gospel personally designed for me. It isn't the one of the Bible. It's not the one that Jesus or Paul preached, but it's what everybody out there has. It's what they have bought into the lies of the enemy, of the world, of the flesh. It's what's comfortable for them. And I got to tell you, it took a long time for that not to be that comfort zone for me. It took a long time, but until somebody saw it and direct and dealt with it, and loved me. I don't say it's the best thing, perhaps one of the best, it's certainly one of the best that comes readily to mind, things he ever did for me, was to strip me of that presumptive all-rightness. That's hell-bound, man. That's on an express jet.
Amen. And what
no
see,
stops.
How many years was it before that happened? That was Paul, I mean, when did you come in contact with Davey?
1996 on the radio.
1996, when were you born?
55.
Okay, that's a lot of years before somebody loved you enough to tell you the truth. It's few and far between. Are we going to be that body to do the same and love others the same? You know, I just boil down. We can show up here on Sundays. We can show up for the Bible studies. We can show up for these things. Are we going to start
there's
being that part?
There are three reasons to be doing these, showing up at these services on Sunday and whenever other services perhaps are. One is to hear the word of the Lord and be around other members of his body. And joy and fellowship.
Get cleaned up. Get
cleaned
direction.
Up. Yeah. Get the word. Receive the word of the Lord.
Food for the soul.
Food for the soul. To punch the clock. To be seen being there.
That's not a good reason.
Well, actually, those were two. Those were the other two.
Yeah, I was waiting for the third.
To be seen being there. So I'm all right. And that's that place of presumptive I'm all rightness, because look how I'm showing up. Punching the clock. But punching the clock's only one aspect of that showing up. So it is his own thing to itself. Is I'm doing this, therefore I can justify my desire to do something evil now. Because I punched the clock. And there's still a lot of that going on. That's a presumptive place of my choices are better and God's got a special little curve going for me. And, yeah.
And, you know,
me and God have an understanding. Sort of that mindset, you know.
And you know,
it ain't a right one.
Yeah, and there's no other. I mean, it is a presumptive place. Where was I going to go?
Even you have the ones that are miserable being here. Why are you here?
So
you don't want to hear the word of God. All you do is complain when you're here.
Yeah.
But and you know, and the Lord's called us to be a part of His body. Part of his plan, his way, his will. And that's what Davey was with you, and he loved you enough to start telling you the truth. Loved me enough to tell me the truth. Loved Steve. They loved you enough to tell you the truth. And if they didn't, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Paul wouldn't be here. So if we're just going and showing up just to sit and clock in, there is no use. What use are we?
There was a lot of hard truth that came my way, too. Yeah. There was just a lot of stuff on my plate. And he kept scraping all them scraps off and trying to load the truth back up on it.
And that's where, if you remain in that place and not become that doer of the word and not become that soldier that he's called you to be in his army, what point is it? You're just going to be one of those things, those branches that are cut off. And if you have been one of those branches that have been cut off, guess what? You have opportunity to get on board.
If you're still breathing, you still get a chance to get grafted back in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But if you're just going to punch the clock and just be here to be here, I mean, shoot, you might as well just go out and enjoy this world while you can, because after this, it's going to be pretty.
The other thing that people are here is to keep peace in the house.
Yeah.
There's a couple people that are doing that. And they're seeing it as being sacrificial for the other party.
Yeah.
It's really putting themselves, their wants and their desires aside on the altar. And it's not. It's absolutely not. It's not how you show you love the other one.
Loving yourself, because that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you're in that place, and once again, if you're in that place, your heart's, I've heard it said in probably past couple of days, I'm actually in this day or so. Yeah. Heart's not right. I'm not in it. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. Well, one, your feelings lie to you. The other thing is you can go to the Lord with anything. Mm-hmm. And if you want that straightened out with you, and if you want to get that right, and you know you're not right, your heart's not right, read Psalm 51. Go to Him. Give these things unto Him. Caution says, set your affections on things that are above. That's a choice you make. You might not feel like it. Your heart might condemn you. The Lord's bigger in your heart. All these things.
Yep.
You go and you take that choice and you say, Lord, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's broken. I need help. Here. Help me. I'm in wrong. Straighten me out. You can do that.
You read Psalm 51. David understood. It didn't just like, God came on him with the Spirit and he did a little prophesying and then of Jesus and all that was coming. He actually understood it when he was done with that. He sits there in Psalm 51 and explains, listen, I understand this sacrifice system, isn't it? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice.
And not just Psalm 51, but you read over and over again where he goes, cries out unto the Lord. He cries out unto the Lord, and he built a confidence that the Lord would show up.
That's how he knows his heart ain't right.
Yep.
Because he's seeing right. And if you, a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise the Lord. That's the gospel. He understood. He had total clarity on what the gospel was. And this sacrifice system was fixing to go. Because it couldn't deliver. Couldn't deliver. So, this... you sit there and say, well, I can't relate to anybody in the Old Testament. I can relate to that perfectly.
Absolutely.
I understand exactly where he is.
Absolutely.
And he could relate with us.
Amen. And you see,
absolutely.
And you see that I was reading, I think it was in Psalm 20, and this was from Asaph. This wasn't from David, this was from Asaph. And he goes, has the Lord shut up his tender mercies? Has he forgotten about these things? And on and on. And he goes, but you know what? This is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. He understands the doubt. He understands the unbelief. He understands that the lies of the flesh that are being sent to him. But then he turns around and says, but I will remember in old days what the Lord has done. I will remember what how the Lord had delivered. I will remember these things. I will remember these
and
things.
I choose to.
That's right. But he understood. Chief, I think it was chief musician Asaph was him,
that sounds right.
I think chief musician. But he understood. He understood the carnality. He understood the frailty of the flesh. And he understood how God was good, is good, let me put it that way. Understood it. Mm-hmm. And how faithful he was mm-hmm. to his people, and how faithful he has been to his people, and how faithful he will be to his people.
You have to want to be his. You know what I mean? You have to want it. And if you do want it, and you truly want to be his, then you can get rid of all this other trash.
Amen.
But if you're not at that place where you really want to be his and all that comes with it, you're going to stay back and you're going to hold off and you're going to be in that pride and you ain't going to get there.
You just take this the whole direction here. Take this whole direction here and put it in Hebrews 4. As I'm going to have to read more of it just because it's so good than the verse that I'm coming there for. Well, the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of whom, with whom we have to do. It's him that we're supposed to be serving, and he sees it. If he's yours, you're his. He sees it. Seeing then we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. Not just help us, but to help others.
Amen.
You're sitting there talking about Asaph. He knew. He understood.
The Lord understood. Jesus understood.
Jesus understood that infirmity. Jesus has been touched with it just the same way we have been.
Absolutely.
What a great high priest has passed into the heavens.
And that's why you can bring any of those things to him.
That's right.
That's why you can do that. Because he understands. He's been there. And really the situation comes, we don't understand that. As he understands that, but that's why we can bring all these things to him. What a great and merciful God. You're right, I was saying about Asaph. I should have been talking about Jesus. This is wrote by Jesus anyways, what Asaph was writing. But it's awesome. And he wants to work a wonder. He wants a relationship with you. But he gonna make you. It's available to you.
It's right there.
It's right there. And I tell you what, let's not grab it anymore. Let's grab a hold on to that.
Both hands.
Both hands.
Now,
feet, one, legs.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Bear hug.
Full immersion.
Like Jacob wrestling with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you say full immersion, you said?
Full immersion, yeah.
I'm thinking of, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head.
Right. But that, you know, that verse it eliminates self-justification of, you know, if you don't understand, that's a lie. That's a lie. He understands. He knows what we're like. He knows how we're screwed up. But because he's good and has been good to us, we have the opportunity. We can get that mark every now and then. That's a good thing. Otherwise, we'd be in desperation.
You know what pleases him?
We can please him.
And then you know what the thing is? Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's it.
Because you believe him. You know, it pleased him when he seen the,
that's right.
He pleased him when he seen everybody do as Joshua commanded, which really what the Lord commanded, and come into that perfect obedience.
That obedience.
It pleased him. And in the walls came tumbling down. The river Jordan was stopped. It pleased him. When we just believe and trust in the sufficiency, in the fullness of what he has done for us is sufficient enough for me, that he died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected in power and took that out of the way. And when I trust in that, that pleases him. That's why it's counted all joy when you fall in the divers temptation. Because it takes faith to believe that.
And it does the same thing, James says, as the tribulation Paul gloried in Romans 5. It worketh patience. And that patience is on, as you're learning to not swerve by, be knocked off the path by the situation. You're learning that God is faithful. And you turn to him and you confess and he receives you. And you have forgiveness, but you know the faith has proven itself. God's faithfulness, then the trying of your faith, proves his faithfulness to you, and that's all you got to worry about.
Amen. And I remember, what's coming to mind right now as you're saying is, remember, it's not about our faith. Isn't that a load on? It's about his faith, what he was able to do. And I remember Davey said, we never looked at you as being able to get anything right or do anything right to go for you at all. We always had faith in what God could do.
Yeah.
And that's where our faith needs to be at. When those walls come down, they operated in obedience because of the faith they had of what the Lord was going to deliver unto them. And that's
where
I
want my presumption to be. If I'm going to presume something, I'm going to presume how good God is, how faithful God is. I'm going to try and keep my expectations of that. Mindful of those expectations, because it's better than you think.
Yeah. And it always works. Why do we act so shocked? I mean, there's so many, because the scriptures abundantly you can above ask or think, and when the situation gets turned down, I mean, we're just looking at, man, if I can just, if this would be delivered in this kind of a way, that would be awesome. But then when it gets delivered to us, but when it gets delivered to us, it's like, that is far better. I mean, that is, wow. I mean, praise God. That was awesome. That was awesome. I didn't see that coming. That was far above I thought.
All right, guys.
Or imagined.
Let's call it a week. We're in a pretty good place to stop, and we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm perfectly willing to go into the Petrasong I thank y'all for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Stay tuned. There's going to be, Ricky's going to be testing his sound. Texas has no internet, so there's no service from Texas today, but, Ricky will be doing a service at 2 Eastern time, and stay tuned for that. And we will see you next time here on the Hour of Truth. Until then, may the Lord bless you mightily.
Amen. May the Lord bless you guys.
Have a great week, everyone.